Our scripture lesson today is Acts 2, 1 to 21, 37 to 38. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So these early believers, they were gathered together, watching and waiting and praying. They were expecting something to happen, which is exactly when God's power broke in. I wonder, do we expect the Holy Spirit to show up in our hearts and lives today? Just before this story, in the first chapter of Acts, before he ascends to heaven, the disciples ask Jesus, "Is this the time when you will restore our people?" And Jesus says, "Wait. Wait for the gift that's been promised. In a few days, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit." Jesus had already told them during his final days on earth that he was leaving and the Holy Spirit would come to be with them, their counselor, advocate, the one to guide and teach and remind them. Then after the resurrection, he tells them the same thing, but he tells them to expect something even more. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." I wonder, what kind of power do you need in your life right now? How do you need God to work, to move, to help you? The Holy Spirit is that power of God. Before his death, Jesus promised them his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and in Greek, Jesus uses the word paraclete for Spirit, which means helper, advocate, counselor. But here's something interesting about the Greek in John 14. In John 14, 16, Jesus promises another counselor to be with you forever. In Greek, there are two words that mean another. One means different, and the second means just like the first one. Jesus says allos, which means another like the first one. That's what Jesus promises his followers, a copy of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is his Spirit. After all, we know that the Holy Spirit is God, and Jesus is God. So where do you need that Spirit power in your life today, that Spirit of Jesus? In Acts 2, the Spirit shows up like wind and tongues of fire. What if we could tap into that kind of power? What if we allowed God's Spirit to work in us, to do more than just talk to us on Sunday, but to actually change what we think and do and feel Monday through Saturday? We don't talk about the Holy Spirit as often as we could, even though the Holy Spirit is God, part of the Trinity, and we claim belief in the Spirit every week when we say Holy Ghost in the Apostles' Creed. And we celebrate this special day about the Spirit, Pentecost, which was actually a Jewish festival, Shavuot, 50 days after Passover, commemorating the harvest and the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. It was a remembrance of God's presence, covenant, and power. But instead of coming to celebrate the harvest and the law, these believers became the harvest with new gifts and new purpose. Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they could all suddenly speak in different languages, not just about anything, but about God's power. Suddenly, people from all over saw simple Galileans speaking in all their languages represented in Jerusalem at the festival. These believers who had lost their Lord and Savior on the cross now found themselves filled with these new gifts, this new purpose. They were being used by God in new and amazing ways. And as a result, the church was born. 3,000 people were baptized as believers in Jesus Christ. And the word about Jesus, it just spread and spread. And all of it happened through people just like us. No previous foreign language experience, no special qualifications except knowing Jesus. And that miracle, this miracle at Pentecost, it's just the beginning of the story. The entire book of Acts tells about the power of the Holy Spirit in those early believers and in the church. In Acts, we see the Spirit guiding, leading, helping them, giving them courage and hope. We see the power of an earthquake to open prison doors and chains for Paul. We see the power of baptism to change lives in story after story. We see the power in Peter's life of including everyone in the kingdom, not just Jews. In Acts, we see the Holy Spirit connecting people and creating community in totally new ways. And I wonder, isn't that a power we need today? The miracle of Pentecost is like the Holy Spirit saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines," because everyone's heart was ignited by the Holy Spirit. This is how Pentecost is the birthday of the church. It put into motion everything we know about the body of Christ. When the Spirit descended upon those followers and new converts, not only did they speak and hear the good news, they created a whole new way of life that we read about in Acts 2, 41 to 47. That says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together. They had all things in common. Day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having the goodwill of the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And when these believers gathered in Antioch, they were called Christians. You know who brought that power? It was the Holy Spirit. But it was a power they didn't control because it blew in like the wind, like the mighty breath of God. We still can't control the Holy Spirit. It blows where it will. But how do we tap into this power of Pentecost? What if we just have to open our hearts to it? What if we just have to ask God for this power and then receive it? What if we open our eyes to seeing where this power is already at work? Kind of like when we share God sightings in worship. The truth is we need the Holy Spirit to keep our spiritual tanks filled. We need that incredible power instead of just living on fumes. Are you living on fumes right now? Are you needing to be filled with God's power? The Holy Spirit is the one who does that, who gives us all of our spiritual gifts. It's what makes us the church. With the Spirit, we can suddenly do things we could barely dream or imagine. It's like the Reverend Joan Gray's great metaphor for Christian life. She says we can be rowboats or sailboats. We can either use all of our energy trying to create our own purpose and do our own thing like rowboats, relying on our own power, or we can let go and let God's Spirit fill our sails. We can become sailboats relying on God's power. We can follow God and join what God is doing in the world. And today, Pentecost, is the day when we remember and celebrate that power, that wind in our sails. The question is, will we allow that Spirit power to fill us? On June 5th, Streams in the Desert devotional says this: it is not within our power to create the wind or change its direction, but we can raise our sails to catch it when it comes. We do not create electricity, but we can tap into it. Can't the same wonders be done today that were done many years ago? I believe the answer is yes. Receiving that power in our sails is just a prayer away, a simple prayer we can all pray anytime. Three words: come, Holy Spirit. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the wind that fills our sails. Let us call on God and receive that power of the Holy Spirit. And for this power, let all God's people say, Amen.